KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. It's still 32 degrees. We look forward to be mostly cloudy today with light rain or snow mix later this afternoon and a high of 40. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of area and state news. The Creston Police Department reports six recent arrests. At around 3 a.m. today, 41-year-old Regina Torres of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of assault. Torres was being held in the Adams County Jail on a $300 bond. Sunday night, 25-year-old Brittany Kuhn of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on charges of harassment and two counts of assault. Kuhn was later released on a $2,600 bond. At around 2 a.m. Sunday, 41-year-old Mauricio Graciani of San Perita, Texas, was arrested in Creston for public intoxication, assault on a peace officer without injury, and interference with official acts. Graciani was later released on a $1,600 bond. At around 12:45 a.m. Sunday, Creston police arrested 37-year-old Mitchell Killian of Creston for public intoxication, and he was later released on a $300 bond. And at around 12:30 a.m. Saturday, 33-year-old Jacob Holbrook of Creston was arrested for OWI first offense. He was later released on a $1,000 bond. Saturday afternoon, 31-year-old Jennifer Broncla of Creston was arrested for theft in the fifth degree. She was released on a promise to appear in court. And a Creston woman residing in the 300 block of Livingston Avenue reported Saturday that sometime over the previous few days, someone broke into her vehicle parked in front of her residence. A purse containing several makeup items was missing. The loss was estimated at $500. Well, the governor and leader of the State Department of Education say the program that allows veteran teachers to become mentors to their less experienced colleagues is showing benefits. Department of Education Director Ryan Weiss said schools have been working on their teacher leadership plans in the last 4 to 6 years.
What we know is that the longer schools emphasize teacher leadership and giving teachers a role and a voice in improving the quality of instruction, the greater impact that that has on student learning.
Why? So the data shows it had helped schools keep teachers.
89% of school districts mostly or fully met the goals that they set related to teacher attraction and recruitment and retention.
He says the program has done a lot to help share information among teachers.
We also see great results related to the frequency and quality of collaboration that teachers have with one another. I think that teacher leadership has really changed the nature of the teaching profession in Iowa for the better. Teachers are much more likely to work together than they were before we had this system in place.
Weiss says it also has made an important difference for students.
The percentage of districts that are mostly or fully meeting the achievement goals they've set have gone up now for 3 years in a row. And so across a number of measures, teacher leadership in Iowa is having a positive impact.
Last school year was the third with all districts participating, and 58% reported mostly or fully meeting local achievement goals, up from 56% in 2017-18 and 50% from 2016-17. The program comes with additional state money to pay more to the teacher leaders, and Weiss says that's the key.
The percentage of very important. You know, the state invests about $163 million annually in teacher leadership, and that really gives schools the ability to create roles that have a clearly defined mission to them and additional compensation as well.
That compensation, he says, really recognizes the teacher's ability and impact and allows schools to do some creative things. The system is the centerpiece of an education reform package adopted by legislators in 2013 and was phased in over 3 years. The Department of Education says more than 10,000 teachers in Iowa's 327 school districts are in leadership roles through the program. The end-of-year report is available on the Iowa Department of Education's website. Many Iowa farmers have been dealing with excessive moisture this year, along with harvest delays due to wet weather and, in many areas, flooding. Iowa State University Extension field agronomist Paul Castle, who covers 10 counties in northwest Iowa, says corn will have to be dried to prevent it from spoiling while in storage, and drying expenses will be way up this year.
The question is, what's it going to cost to dry? Because it's still in the upper 20s for grain moisture. You know, you could spend 200 bushels of corn at commercial drying costs, you know, you're looking at $7 or $8 per point per acre to dry it. So if you got to remove 10 points, well, you know, that's the profit plus a little.
For many growers, the harvest for corn and soybeans is at least 2 weeks late. Castle says the majority of the corn that was planted in late spring through the first week of June is in great condition.
A lot of folks in this area did stick with their plans on planting corn. You know, the grain price went up during that time frame, and it does look good. It did develop well, and it pollinated around the 1st of August, which is obviously late, but not real late. So we're optimistic on that crop. It's just, can we make any money on it? It'll be the next question.
Soybean growers had a cooperative harvest weather the past week or two, but about half the soybean crops still need to be brought in.
The grain moisture on that has been around 12 or 13. It took a while to get it down there. So now we're, with the cool weather, with this recent rain and cool weather predicted, the real question is, will that soybean crop, will it get down back down to 13% or less so we can store it safely?
Castle says producer hoping for conditions to be like in 2009 when they had a lot of rain in October, but then November brought good weather that allowed harvest to be completed in late November and early December. Well, two weekend events in Iowa clearly illustrated the divide between the two major political parties in America. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
On Saturday morning at Drake University, hundreds of Democrats greeted Nancy Pelosi with a standing ovation.
Thank God we do have the right leader at the right time in our Speaker of the House.
That was Polk County Democrats Chairman Sean Bagnuski on Saturday night on the Iowa State Fairgrounds. Republicans praised President Trump.
This is Trump country in a place where we really don't care what Mitt Romney thinks.
That's Iowa GOP Chairman Jeff Kaufman criticizing a fellow Republican who has questioned some of Trump's actions. Pelosi, a few hours earlier, was asked by a moderator to describe a recent meeting with Trump.
I don't really like to start a Saturday morning talking about you-know-who, but...
In discussing the impeachment inquiry, Pelosi quoted one of the country's founding fathers.
We do believe that the times have found each and every one of us right now.
The keynote speaker at Saturday night's Iowa Faith and Freedom Coalition banquet, Georgia Congressman Doug Collins, vowed to follow Pelosi around the country.
Don't let the Democrats fool you, and especially the two new ones from Iowa. You either stand with the president or you're going to stand behind this president because he will win again.
I'm O.K. Henderson.
The 2020 general election is 371 days away. Elsewhere in the news over the weekend, an Eastern Iowa couple's baby gender reveal party went horribly wrong Saturday afternoon. According to KCCI-TV, the Marion County Sheriff's Office said a 56-year-old woman died at the scene after suffering serious injuries during a gender reveal announcement. The explosion occurred at around 4 p.m. Saturday at a residence in rural Knoxville. The victim had been struck by a piece of debris. Her name has not yet been released. An accident early Saturday morning in northern Iowa's Floyd County resulted in the death of a 9-year-old boy and injuries to four other people. The state patrol says a 2015 Ford Taurus driven by 29-year-old Jesse Blade was traveling northbound in Rudd on Glass Avenue at around 6:35 a.m. when he failed to stop at the intersection with Rudd Park Road. His car struck an eastbound 2003 Ford Windstar van broadside. The driver of the van was identified as 57-year-old Ronald Paul Fisher. Blade, Fisher, and another passenger in the van, 50-year-old Sarah June Fisher, along with 11-year-old Aiden Klein, were all injured in the crash. 9-year-old Royce Fisher died at the scene. The accident remained under investigation. And police have made arrests in an attack earlier this month on a man and his girlfriend inside of a Skywalk in downtown Des Moines. Police say 18-year-old Jeffrey Lionel Smith Jr. of Des Moines was charged Friday with assault in connection with the investigation. A 13-year-old boy was also arrested and referred to juvenile courts for an assault charge. Police say a 21-year-old man and his girlfriend were attacked October 12th by 20 to 30 teens or young men in the Skywalk near the Wellmark YMCA. The man was later hospitalized for treatment after being kicked and punched. The woman was also punched. The incident led Des Moines police to announce a plan to beef up security in the capital city's Skywalk system. That's a look at the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.